pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The clerk will please call the roll.
Ms. Becker? Ms. Bartoszewski?
Here.
Mr. Gregory?
Present.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis?
Here.
Ms. Weldon?
Here.
Ms. White?
Here.
Mayor Kelch?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. We have a special order of business, and I would like to call up in no particular order Mr. Caulfield, Mr. Pugh, and Mr. Lynn. And do we have a mic?
Mr. Mayor and members of the Assembly, I'm Rick Caulfield. I'm Chancellor here at the University of Alaska Southeast, and I'm joined by Chancellor Emeritus John Pugh, my predecessor, and Chancellor Emeritus Marshall Lynn, who was Chancellor here at Southeast for many years, also at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and of course was Commissioner of Education for the state of Alaska for many years as well. And I'm here today really to thank all of you and to thank our entire community and really all of Southeast Alaska for the support that you provided to the University of Alaska Southeast in recent weeks and months. I think all of you are aware that last Wednesday, the University Board of Regents voted 11-0 to support the University of Alaska Southeast becoming the lead university across the entire university system for teacher education and educational leadership. And this was no small task. There was a very extensive review under the university's strategic pathways process. And President Jim Johnson, who's my boss, looked at the issues very carefully and made a recommendation to the board that the University of Alaska Fairbanks be identified as the lead for a single college of education across the entire state with a single dean. And President Johnson came to Juneau last week. I greatly appreciated his taking the time to come down and to meet with our Juneau Campus Advisory Committee, which asked for a special meeting with the president to talk about his recommendation before the board. And we had a tremendous turnout, including a number of you who were present. Chancellor Emeritus Pugh, Chancellor Emeritus Lynn were both present. The Lieutenant Governor was there. Our city manager and our mayor were all present, our legislative delegation. And we could not have had a more compelling opportunity to communicate to President Johnson the importance of the University of Alaska Southeast taking the lead statewide for teacher education. This is arguably the most important substantive academic area for UAS to be in this leadership role. Our colleagues to the north at Fairbanks and Anchorage have a number of different areas, of course, at Fairbanks, Arctic Research and Engineering and a number of other areas. At the University of Alaska Anchorage, healthcare and economic policy, and there are a number of other areas where they are already the lead. And it just seemed highly appropriate based on the merits and also just on striking a right balance across the entire state, the University of Alaska Southeast would also have a leadership role. So I'm very, very pleased to say that the president, Jim Johnson, made that recommendation in the end. He changed his recommendation to Southeast. And for that, I'm very grateful because he had already come to a certain conclusion, but based on an overwhelming amount of testimony from people living here in Southeast Alaska and our elected leaders, he changed his recommendation and said that Southeast should take the lead. And to the Board of Regents, which also gave careful consideration to this and made the decision to support Southeast. So again, I'm here to thank you and also to thank the many people in our community. I had the pleasure of reading many, many emails from educators in our community, from community leaders, people who knew the quality of the graduates who are going to who work in our schools. Mayor Kelch, I heard you make the comment that as a graduate of the University of Alaska Southeast, the MAT program, which is the model program, the Master of Arts in Teaching program, that you had the privilege of supervising a number of student teachers who had come through our university program here in Southeast. And we had the opportunity to hear from a number of the PETAS graduates, the Preparing Indigenous Teachers and Administrators for Alaska's Schools. Josh Jackson, some of you may know, teaches at Harborview Elementary, and Alberta Jones, who's retired from our school district and is now on our faculty. So all of them did a terrific job of communicating to the president the breadth and the depth of the programs that are at the University of Alaska in teacher education. And I should also mention, too, the Principals Academy and the Superintendents Academy. As you know, we have some 54 school districts in the state of Alaska, and in recent years we've seen a 40 or 50% turnover in the number of superintendents in any one year. So we can all appreciate why it's important to have quality superintendents coming through the program. So with my expression of appreciation, the challenge to us now is to fulfill the goal that President Johnson has set, and that is to see a very significant increase in the number of Alaskans who are educated to work in Alaska schools. And it's a goal that I completely support, and I know you do too. So we are thrilled to take the reins to work with our colleagues at the University of Alaska Anchorage and at the University of Alaska Fairbanks to ensure that we reach that goal. President Johnson has said he would like to have 90% of the teachers hired for Alaska schools every year come from the University of Alaska by the year 2025, and I think it's a really worthwhile goal, and we're excited to get to work on achieving that. And with that, if I could just quickly pass the mic, if you wouldn't mind, Mayor Kelch, to my distinguished predecessors.
Well, I just want to add my thanks to all of you for your engagement in this very important issue, and not just an issue for Juneau. This is similar to the Capitol. It's an issue for the entire state. University of Alaska Southeast has had a leadership role for many, many years in education, and I think this was not only the right thing to do, it's the best thing for the entire state to have UAS in this leadership role, and your voice made a big difference in getting there. I would just add something, just because Rick can't say this, but is that there are going to be many other decisions like this as we keep going down this path. And one of those that, I'm still kind of smarting from never getting back is the fisheries program. So I almost mentioned that at that meeting we had, Mayor. But I thought that would be too much salt on the wound, in there as we were working on it. And I wanted to stay focused, as you said. But that might be a focus later in terms of it where I know that, Chancellor Caulfield and I have started working on getting the undergraduate fisheries back. But that was quite a blow when the fisheries program moved here. And there still isn't. Today, you can go out on the street and people ask you, why is the fisheries program in Fairbanks? And so I think it's one of those that as we move forward, it's a real opportunity for us to look at that and what we're doing in that, as well as in aquaculture and particularly seaweed aquaculture that we're taking leadership in right now, as well as shellfish aquaculture around Southeast. And I think there's another place that we can do, and then mining is the other one, as I know that all of you are very much engaged in that. The university has been, and we need to stay engaged in it, and we need to keep that leadership position. There's been a promise from the president to put us in that leadership, and we're going to need to step forward again, and not in a way of necessarily coming with money or anything, but really making our voice heard that we are leaders now, and we will commit to being leaders in that later.
I, too, want to thank you for your support. The three of us collectively have put in about 30 years at UAS, and I've never seen anything quite like this in terms of the community support, your support, and I just want you to know how much I appreciate it. I also pick up on John's comment. I was at UAS when the fisheries moved, and people were wondering, why did it ever move to Fairbanks? Then I had an opportunity to go to Fairbanks. It was my opportunity then to support the move to Fairmont. It's interesting how things change.
Yeah.
One final thing before I quit. When we restructured the university in 1987, UAJ was no longer used in our name. We purposely went with the name UAS. This recent incident of support to maintain a teacher education program is clear evidence of why we needed to do that. The support that we got for this from all of Southeast was really important. The decision to go with UAS was the right one, although a lot of people questioned that. We were the only one that really did that of the three universities, but it was the right thing. So, again, thank you very much for all of your help.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, don't go away yet.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question, if possible, and a comment. And I'd just like to agree with Chancellor Pugh that as a parent who had a son going into the fisheries program, I found it unfortunate that it moved to Fairbanks as well. I would agree with you on that. And for Chancellor Caulfield, my question you answered last week, but I don't remember it, and also I think it would be good for everybody else to hear. You said the president wanted 90% of our teachers to come out of our system, our university system, and you said that number, but you didn't say that tonight. Could you say that number tonight, the number of teachers we hire a year?
Certainly. Every year, Alaska hires about 900 new teachers, and only about 300 of those every year are Alaskans. And so the goal, which again I completely support, is to have 90% of the new teachers hired in any given year be those educated at the University of Alaska. Teachers who will understand the communities that we live in, the economy we have, the cultures, the languages of Alaska, the weather. They know that it rains a lot and it snows a lot and it's cold, and they don't just leave after 1 year or 2 years. So I think that's a terrific goal, and we're excited to be part of the effort to achieve it.
Thank you.
Hey, you guys want to have a seat right there for a second? I want to call up to you. Mr. Delbert. Thank you.
Where to?
Right here.
Okay.
And Amy, you are here because?
I'm the executive director of the Juneau Community Foundation, and I'm here because we're completely pleased and so excited about all the support that has been pouring out of Southeast Alaska in order to retain the School of Education here at the University of Alaska Southeast. So congratulations to everyone, and what a great work. And that we're here to help any way we can. So we're going to be meeting in the future with others and figuring out what it is that we can do, but we're just, the Community Foundation is here to help. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I just wonder if Ms. Gilbreth would be willing to take the first check right here. Because my wife and I discussed this, and this is an effort we want to support from our pocketbooks, too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I wanted to point out, as long as you got started, Mr. Keel, that we're going to be considering the source, timing, and mechanism of the CBJ's contribution and our contribution to the University of Alaska at our next finance meeting in January. I asked if you guys to stay because of the incredible work you guys did. You made a meeting that I went to, one of the most enjoyable I've ever gone to, between the three of you and Lieutenant Governor Millett. It was a fantastic meeting, and I really appreciate what you have done, and I think the Assembly needs to applaud you.
Yep.
Here, here.
And Amy is in the back collecting checks, right? Thank you. Mr. Norton Gregory. Approval of the minutes of November 28th, 2016.
That was good. Good recovery.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve the minutes from November 28th and ask for unanimous consent.
Thank
you, Mr. Mayor. Just have one comment or correction on page 14. The second to last paragraph. If you check the tape, it says rather than argue whether they should have more or less weight than other items in the comprehensive plan. That's the phrase that I didn't say. It's more weight by being in the comprehensive plan or slightly less weight by being adopted by resolution. That's the correction I would make.
Any other additions or corrections? Any objection to approving the minutes of November 28, 2016? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. Beth Weld.
You were supposed to do that. I don't know how to announce when your son wins the state wrestling championship, but that's what I'm announcing.
You can't do that. I'm calling on you to do that.
Yeah, he's calling on you. Announcements come later.
Okay, I'll make announcements later. Yeah. I move that we approve the December 8, 2006 Special Assembly meeting minutes.
And you know they'll be in these minutes, too, what you just
said. That's right. That's good.
Are there any additions or corrections?
Sorry, I didn't realize what you were calling me on.
That's okay.
I thought we agreed to
you. You're a little distracted.
I'm a little distracted.
Yes.
Seeing none, the minutes are approved. Wow, that's one proud mother. Okay. Manager's request for agenda changes.
Mr. Mayor, I have one requested change, and that would be on the consent agenda, item B, ordinance 2016-44, the camping ordinance. The recommendation is that to be set for public hearing at the next regular assembly meeting. Since we're going to be taking this up at the Committee of the Whole on the 9th, and that is also the date of the next meeting, I would change that to public hearing on January 23rd, which will give the Committee of the Whole time to work on that ordinance.
Okay, did everybody make that change? Thank you. That brings us to public participation on non-agenda items. Do we have anyone signed up? We do. We have the Harbor Master bringing it up. Thank
wow.
you.
Wow.
Mr. Coyle, and this will be on new pedicabs regs.
William Coyle, 415 Willoughby, number 305, as you know. One of the reasons I came up again today is I want to make sure that if and when the new regulations come up, which I'm trying to get changed, that I'm asking you to, if it's more than $400 for a one-time fee, I'm asking the assembly to amend it, okay? Number two, I'm asking if it's outside, if they have limits on how a pedicab, where they can go, except for on the bike path trails, if they have limitations, I'm asking them to amend it. Also, when it comes to insurance, I'm also asking them to amend it to $1 million with amendment for common carrier. That's very simple. And also, for a $25 biannual fee, and for nothing for seniors. That's about the only thing I'm asking for. And I appreciate when this comes up. I might not be around for when it comes across your attention, I'm asking you to amend it, okay? And that means if it's sky high, like $1,500, I'm asking you to amend it. Do you understand? Everybody, okay. Anyhow, I'm just trying to keep it so I don't want to have to completely myself to finance the whole system. And there is other people that are going to be besides myself, that's going to be doing pedicabs. In fact, I just got asked yesterday, how do I do this? I couldn't really ask and give a solid question because we're working on this. So I'm trying to get it so this is solidified. I'm also trying to get the harbor to get working on them too. So that's on the 19th where I'm going to be working on that. So hopefully we can get this redone. And the reason why I'm trying to, we don't, pedicabs cannot take as many people as taxis. That's very important, okay? We just can't take six people at a time and charge them all, okay? We just can't do that. So our fees are from, you know, $10 to $15. So you got to get it so we're trying to make some money, and you don't want to get it so sky high you spend the entire season trying to make money, and you don't, you have to wait till August to start, August or September to start making any money. So I appreciate the assembly would, if it's outside those, that realm, is you make amendments. That's what I'm asking.
Okay. Are there any questions for Mr. Quayle? Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Rebecca, is it Gagvin?
Gagvin.
Gagvin. Okay, and affordable housing. If you'll state your name and resident address, please.
It's Rebecca Gagin, and I live at 3184 Indian Cove Drive. I was just coming in to talk a little bit about the lack of affordable housing in town. I work at AWARE. So obviously I work with a vulnerable population that this affects, and with the recent cold snap that we had, just the thought of how being homeless in this town is pretty much impossible. Like you would not be able to survive sleeping outdoors during a time like this. And I know I read recently that there was something that came up that's kind of circling around through the assembly, and I'm just really urging people to take it very seriously, because especially with the way our economy is going, the amount of vulnerable population is going to get bigger, not smaller. Affordable housing is an issue that affects a lot of people. So I just really want people to take that very seriously. Yeah. That's all.
Are there any questions? Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Thank you.
That brings us to the consent agenda. Is there any public request for consent agenda changes other than ordinances or introduction? Is there assembly request for consent agenda changes? Ms. White?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I have had a few meetings with the city's housing director, and I guess I'm not sure if this would be something that would go back to lands or committee of the whole, but we're thinking that Resolution 2780 could still use some additional work, and I would like to remove that from the that resolution from the consent agenda for further study.
Okay, we will take that up as first order of business after the consent agenda. Is there any other assembly requests for consent agenda changes? Seeing none, Mr. Nan Curvis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the consent agenda be approved, and I would ask with the aforementioned modification, and I would ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? All right, it's done. Consent agenda is approved. Which will bring us back to the resolution 2780 that was before. Madam Clerk.
This is Resolution 2780, a resolution adopting the Housing Action Plan.
Okay. Ms. White, what is your plan on this?
Okay. So as I said, Mr. Chambora and I met, and discussed some of the inconsistencies and other issues with the Housing Action Plan as it was presented. And the more we delved into it, our meeting was approximately 4.5 hours. The more we delved into it, the more things we started going through. And we would like to have the opportunity to bring forward a couple of updates. One of the things in his note that he said here, the downtown and seasonal housing inventory, we've got some ideas that could be added to the informational section. We discussed beefing up more land disposal, trying to find other ways to fund some of the ideas presented in the Housing Action Plan and explore that a little bit more. We also both agreed that there were citations of the number of units needed to make things happen, needed some work because the last 2 years the building industry had actually come really close to those numbers. So maybe those targets need to be adjusted a little bit, and just some things that had to do with the economic realities that we're facing. It's great to have a plan, but I think it's more important that we have a plan that we can get the building industry behind, because if they're not going to stand behind it and agree with it, it's certainly not going to work. And I had, for example, one of our major builders come to me and say, if this goes forward, this scares me too much. These things could make it where, they had serious problems with it and just flat up said they won't put any new housing stock out there. They'll stick with remodels because they had so many concerns. I just felt that it needs to be fleshed out a little bit more. And I feel it, the housing director and I did make some forward motion on it and definitely still working on it.
Hey, Ms. White, what is your motion?
My motion would be to put this back in the Lands Committee would be my first choice. Second choice would be Committee of the Whole. So I guess that my motion is to send this back to Lands.
Has it been in Lands?
I don't think it has.
It went from the Planning Commission to the COW.
So we can try Lands or we can try COW.
I will object to it going anywhere at this point. If I could speak to that.
Certainly.
I would like to understand what exactly the plan is. If the plan is to take the document that was presented to us from the consultants that has been approved by the Housing Commission and the Planning Commission and rewrite it, I really object. If it is to take the plan, make a work plan to implement it, to revise whatever numbers need to be revised as they look at going forward with an implementation of that plan, I would probably have less objections. If I read the housing plan correctly, it says we're stuck. And if the reason that we are wanting to rewrite or whatever it is we're doing is because the building industry isn't behind it, it would seem to me that the plan is telling us the building industry hasn't been doing us any favors, and they certainly haven't been serving the public. And so if our objection is they're not behind it, then maybe that's the reason we should support the plan, because maybe we need to get some developers in here that understand what needs to be done and just aren't going to do business as usual. So several objections to that, but I really do object if this is to take a plan that's been written, that's been approved by two boards that we appoint, and then rewrite it. I really do object to us doing anything other than approving it and then moving forward with an implementation plan.
Okay. Further discussion. Okay. The motion on the floor, if I understand it this way, is to move this from here to the Lands Committee. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a discussion on that? We had an objection. Mm-hmm. You want to call the roll?
Mm-hmm. Ms. White?
Yes.
Ms. Glaszewski?
No.
Mr. Gregory?
No.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Keel?
No.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Weldon?
Yes.
Mayor Kelch?
Yes.
Motion fails. 4A, 4A.
Right. We still have this before us, and we can vote on whether to send it to COW, or we can also vote on whether to accept it as a resolution. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move that we adopt serial number 2708.
Keep.
2780, excuse me, dyslexic tonight, sorry. And I will urge people to vote no.
Is there a discussion?
I think the reason to vote no is I'm still in support of putting this as part of the comprehensive plan. I don't expect to get a lot of support for that, but that's the reason why I don't think we should approve this as a resolution.
Okay. Further discussion? Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll just, I guess, say that while I agree with Mr. Jones about how we ought to adopt this, I think that at this point we have had some significant debate and votes on that, and that the time has come, as our public testifier tonight said, to move toward action on our housing issues more so than we already have. So I will be a yes vote on adopting this resolution tonight, even if it's not quite how I wanted it. I think it's time to get moving toward implementation.
Ms. Bajnes.
I would urge people to vote yes. I too think it should be in the comprehensive plan. It has slightly more weight. We've debated that. That didn't garner enough support. I think it's time to move these things forward. I'd be very happy to work on an implementation plan, which things get done first, which things we examine. There's many opportunities to decide how next to move forward. The Housing Commission will have ideas. It doesn't get all, just because we adopt it, nothing happens unless we make it happen. So I think we should work on that and begin to decide what we can do first to unstick our housing, which even if we have built some housing in the last few years, it's clearly still a very tight market, still very expensive to move here, very expensive to live here, very expensive to rent, and we need to start moving that needle. Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion? Well, clerk, please read the motion.
To adopt resolution 2780, the Housing Action Plan.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Weldon?
Yes.
Ms. White?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mayor Kelch?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, that brings us to public hearing. Ordinance 2016-36B, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the Animal Control and Protection Code relating to potentially dangerous and dangerous domestic animals.
Mr. Manager.
The Animal Hearing Board and Gastineau Humane Society requested several amendments of CBJ Chapter 830 relating to potentially dangerous and dangerous domestic animals. The changes clarify some of the requirements imposed on owners of potentially dangerous and dangerous domestic animals. The Committee of the Whole considered this ordinance at its November 21, 2016 meeting and recommended moving the ordinance forward as amended. The amendments are shown in italics in version B of the ordinance. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there any public comment? Well,
yeah, I know.
William Quayle, 415 Willoughby, number 305. We do live in bear country, okay? And a lot of times if you have, I don't know what dogs they are not trying to limit. I hope we're not limiting English Bull Terriers because that's their mascot. If we're doing that, you should be not doing that at all, okay? Period. But when it comes to Rottweilers and some bit pit bulls, I can understand, but sometimes people have mean dogs just to keep the bears away from being mauled, and that should be taken into consideration in the subject.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Ms. White. This for us, please.
What's up? Move it forward. Okay. Well, I was trying to compare this to some public comment that we got that came in during the Human Resources Committee meeting. However, I feel this one's been pretty well fleshed out, and it does not contain any breed discrimination phrases. I would like to recommend the assembly approve ordinance 2016-36B and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess I don't want to do this right because I don't normally offer amendments. Do I object for purposes of an amendment or do I just offer an amendment? All right. I would like to offer several amendments to this. So I guess I would ask the body, would you prefer I list them all or go one by one through my amendments?
One by one.
Okay. I would like on page 2, under little letter B, line 10, in the middle of the sentence, after other words, it says other requirements. It says including a spay or neuter requirement. I would like to eliminate that language. And I would speak to my amendment that I don't believe it's the city's business whether you spay or neuter a pet. I believe as a pet owner, that's your business, whether you spay or neuter a pet. I believe there's other language in this ordinance that gets to what they want to get. But I personally don't believe it's the city's business to weigh in on whether your animal can reproduce or not. It's just that simple. That's all I have on that one.
Discussion? Mr. Jones.
Just clarification. So after the comma, you would delete including a spay or neuter requirement? Those are the words you would eliminate?
Correct. Mr. Jones, I believe that addresses what I want, other requirements as the director determines appropriate. So it would just eliminate those six words, including a spay or neuter requirement.
Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess I have a question. I appreciate some help. It's not something that, this is status quo language, not something that was proposed for change, so it's not something I've looked into at any length. It's my understanding that the option there exists because that can have an impact on animal behavior in some cases, and that's, you know, as the director determines appropriate. It's appealable to the board, the name of which I'm forgetting, Dangerous Dog Group, Animal Control Board. And so I could use some help understanding the basis for this requirement, which I thought was about the behavior of particular animals. There's somebody here who can help.
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Musselwhite from Gaston Humane Services.
Society.
We're all having name problems tonight.
Yeah, Mr. Musselwhite, if you'll state your name and address.
Sure, Mr. Musselwhite. I'm sorry, Matthew Musselwhite, director of Gaston Humane Society. So specifically in relation to the spay neuter requirement, that's not a change. This is something that's been, you know, the foundation of this dangerous dog thing for some time. And I would argue there's quite a few studies out that link aggressive animal, dangerous dog nature with an animal being unaltered. You know, and it is listed up here that it can be up to the director. There can be a decision whether to not require that spay or neuter requirement. And again, as Mr. Keel stated, it can be appealed.
Did that answer your question?
It does, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. I think I'm going to oppose the amendment on those grounds, just because we're specifically talking about animals with a history of bites or aggressive behavior here, the dangerous and potentially dangerous dogs.
Okay. Further discussion? Well, clerk, please restate the amendment.
To remove the language on page 2, including a spay or neuter requirement.
Okay. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Ms. Gladyszewski?
No.
Mr. Gregory?
No.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Keel?
No.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Weldon?
No.
Ms. White?
No.
Mayor Kelch?
Yes.
Motion fails.
Okay. Mr. Nankervis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll move on to my second amendment. That would be on page 4 of 6, section D, the entire underlined section. I would eliminate or delete. Which, if I may speak to my objection.
You may.
Thank you. I realize that that is primarily why this ordinance is back before us again. And the same argument I would make for the spay and neuter, I think that's just too intrusive to do that. And I don't think the city has any business telling you that you need to do that. Thank you.
Okay. Is there objection?
Objection.
Do you want to speak to your objection?
Oh, sure. I think I was the one originally that asked these questions when it was just moving quickly along. So I now understand the reason for this. The dogs get you have several dogs, and they disappear from the owner's property, and you can't trace who they are. So I was satisfied with the answers we got in the Committee of the Whole when we talked about it. So I think this section should stay.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Gregory?
No.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
No.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Weldon?
No.
Ms. White?
Yes.
Ms. Bartoszewski?
No.
Mayor Kelch?
Yes.
Motion failed 4-4.
Okay. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Actually, I think that is, I'm going to stop with those two. I am done trying to make amendments. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there further amendments to the motion? Are there objections to the motion? Mr. Jones.
I'm trying to remember, was there an original motion?
Yes.
Yes,
okay.
I made it.
All right. Oh, I object.
Okay. You wish to speak to your objection or have you?
No, I probably already have.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will please call the roll.
Okay. Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Ms. Weldon?
Yes.
Ms. White?
Yes.
Ms. Bartoszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mayor Kelch?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay.
That brings us to Ordinance 2015-28S. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $660,000 as partial funding for the Bartlett Regional Hospital's fiscal year 2016 operating budget, funding provided by hospital reserve revenue.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would appropriate an additional $660,000 to Bartlett Regional Hospital for fiscal year 16 operations. BRH initially prepared their budget 18 months ago and underestimated the total expenditures by less than 1%. This appropriation is being funded from FY16 hospital revenues. The Bartlett Finance Committee was informed of the year-end operating expense authorization shortfall and the need to obtain assembly budget authorization at its November 15, 2016 meeting. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there any public comment? Seeing none, Ms. Bladyshevsky, will you?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move Ordinance 2015-20AX and ask for unanimous consent.
Motion carried. Ordinance 2016-09V, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance transferring $3,075,566 from the sales tax and the general fund's fund balance to the general debt service fund's fund balance.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would replace $3,075,000 of state funding that was originally appropriated for debt service with available fund balance from the general and sales tax funds. The original state funding was expected as part of the state budget allocation to reimburse local governments for the state share of school debt bond reimbursement. Due to the governor's veto of state revenue, CBJ needed to find additional funding. The Assembly Finance Committee reviewed the FY17 budget shortfalls at its September 8th and November 9th, 2016 meetings. The committee recommended an ordinance to provide additional funding for school debt service be drafted and forwarded to the full assembly for adoption. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any public comment? Seeing none, Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move that the assembly adopt ordinance 2016-09V and ask unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? Motion carried. Ordinance 2016-09 W, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance transferring $696,000 from the CBJ Facility Infrastructure Deferred Maintenance Project to the General Government Funds Fund Balance.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would transfer $696,000 of fiscal year 17 deferred maintenance CIP funding to the general fund for operating budget expenditures. As part of the fiscal year 17 CBJ budget process, the Assembly tentatively allocated $696,000 of increased property tax revenues into a deferred maintenance CIP. The allocation was tentative based on the uncertainty of the FY17 state budget. Subsequent to the adoption of the CBJ budget in May 2016, a governor's veto reduced the amount of the permanent fund dividend. The reduction in the dividend is expected to reduce the retail sales tax collected. The tax loss reduces the revenue originally allocated to the general fund. Assembly Finance Committee reviewed the FY17 budget shortfalls at its September 8th and November 9th meeting, 2016 meetings. The committee recommended an ordinance to provide additional funding via CIP transfer for general government operations to be drafted and forwarded to the full Assembly for adoption. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you. Is there any public comment? Seeing none, Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2016-09W and ask unanimous consent.
As there is no objection, the motion is carried. Ordinance 2016-09X. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance transferring $110,434 from the sales tax funds fund balance to the roaded service area funds fund balance.
You're having fun with that fund balance?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Always
doing
fun.
Mr. Manning.
This ordinance would appropriate $110,434 of available sales tax fund balance as partial funding for fiscal year 17 general government operating budget. Similar to the last ordinance, this is a result of the governor's veto, and this issue was discussed at Finance Committee meetings September 8th and November 9th. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there any public comment? Seeing none, Mr. Dan Curvis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I recommend adoption of Ordinance 2016-09X, and I would ask for unanimous consent.
Seeing no objection, motion carries. Ordinance 2016-09Y. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $365,000 as funding for the fountain and whale-related site elements that are part of the Bridge Park Capital Improvement Project, funding provided through the donation from the Whale Project Committee.
Mr. Manager.
The Whale Project Committee is donating $365,000 to the CBJ for the construction of the fountain and whale-related site preparation elements of the Seawalk Bridge Park to Gold Creek project. This donation will pay for these items in the Phase 3 Seawalk contract and will have additional funds available to put towards completion of the fountain works and pump room. These funds will be appropriated into the Bridge Park CIP. Public Works and Facilities Committee recommended this request be forwarded to the Assembly for action at its October 31st, 2016 regular meeting. After taking action on this ordinance, we have a number of people from the Whale Committee here in attendance, and I believe we have a ceremonial large check to signify the large donation, and I would ask that you invite Ms. Overstreet up to present that check. And I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Wow. So we're going to postpone public comment for just a second then. Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2016-09-Y and ask for unanimous consent.
I will. Is there any objection? Right. Motion carried. Under public comment, would Mrs. Overstreet come forward?
Well, Mr. Mayor, if you would actually allow the entire board present here.
Of course. She has her entree.
First, Mr. Mayor, we should present this check to you, and I'll offer a couple comments as well. But
We trust you'll endorse it. Mr. Mayor, it gives us great pleasure as the board directors of the Whale Project to present this check for $365,000 as our continuing contribution to the Whale Fountain and Waterworks, which, again, has been made possible in no small part by the dedication of the Bridge Park to the Whale itself. We want to report to you that we're continuing to do fundraising, and I can report at this point that we have raised an additional $150,000, which we will be planning to give to the city to continue completion of the project. We are continuing our fundraising beyond that amount, and again, we encourage any of you who would be interested in buying a brick, or as we'd like to say, for the friend who has everything, have another opportunity. And finally, just to give you an update, we are continuing our work on trademarking the Whale on behalf of the City and Borough of Juneau, so that there will be a continuing revenue stream to the city for the maintenance of the park. That we were told from the outset would be a 12 to 18 month project. We're well on our way, working with our trademark attorneys, and are hopeful that we will have a perfect alignment with the completion of the park and the granting of the trademark.
Can I ask a question?
Yes. But I've been asked by the city clerk to make sure the record is clear about the fellow members of the Whale Project Board of Directors here, Paul Dick, Gene Overstreet, and Jim Clark. And I'd like to give Gene a moment to say a couple words before perhaps I entertain the questions. Mr. Mayor, please.
I can't tell you how delighted Bill would be if he could see how far along this has gone. I'm so sorry he couldn't live to see it completed. I thank the Assembly for all they've done and all of the people in Juneau who have been so supportive.
My question is simply, where would one donate if one wanted to, and how much is a brick, and how could they get you money?
Well, first, Maria, I'll be glad to stop by.
There's some place online.
Yes. If you go to alaskawhaleproject.org, opportunity to contribute there. We are actually, if you wanted to write a check and mail it, we are at 350 Whittier Street, 99801. The range of brick purchases that are available start at $100 and again escalate both by size and by amount. But that is, of course, not the only way. We've been very fortunate to have many, many donors who've given directly to the Whale without anticipation of return in the form of bricks or otherwise. And we're going to, as I said, continue our efforts to make sure that this project continues to be a full private-public partnership. And my particular thanks to the staff, the CBJ, and to the Assembly for just how this project has finally unfolded. It's been a long haul.
Okay, we're going to take a 10-minute break. So
could you clump up and get a picture? The technical term. I'll put one of your pictures. That's all right. Okay.
Thank you.
But I'll take a break.
In Alaska, the economy is changing.
We are not generating enough revenue to pay our daily bills.
The energy industry is changing, and so is the landscape.
You know, you appreciate things as they become diminished in your life, right? I mean, you look at them differently when they are disappearing.
Alessa's energy desk is following those changes from the state capitol to the North Slope to the Kenai and then Alaska. Follow us on your local public radio station.
I love It's a Wonderful Life. I love it so much, I want to do it all for you myself. Ready?
You want the moon, Mary? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it.
George Bailey lasso stork.
You're worth more dead than alive.
Pottersville.
You see, George, you really had a wonderful life.
Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls!
Bring the whole family to This Wonderful Life at Perseverance Theater, December 9th to the 31st. Tickets, special dates, and pricing at ptalaska.org, the Jack, or 463-TIXS.
If you're looking for a great holiday gift for someone, look no further than KTOO, because we have tickets to David Sedaris.
I wear green velvet knickers, a forest green velvet smock, and a perky little hat decorated with spangles. This is my work uniform.
That's NPR humorist and award-winning author David Sedaris, presented by KTOO this May 14th. Tickets at ktoo.org.
Oh my goodness, I think I see Santa.
And you're tuned to KTOO Juno, and we have been listening to the live broadcast of the CBJ Assembly meeting. They are currently on break, and we'll be back in a few minutes. The weather for tonight calls for rain showers before 10 p.m., then rain and snow showers, low around 35. Tomorrow, rain and snow showers becoming all rain after 1 p.m. The rain and snow could be heavy at times, high near 38.
bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight. We're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland.
Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is the new bird.
He sings a love song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland.
In the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown.
We'll say, are you married? We'll say, no man.
No man.
Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire
to face unafraid the plan that we made, walking in a winter wonderland.
New business. Oh, wait a minute. Is there any unfinished business? Something that we have neglected to do?
None.
Okay. Good. And we're on to new business. Liquor license 4405. Madam Clerk.
This is the Tides Complex Incorporated DBA Dragon Inn Chinese Cuisine Incorporated.
Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, I believe Mr. Jones may have a report from earlier this evening.
Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This issue was before the Human Resources, as the Finance Department had protested this license. After that, the owner came into the Finance Department and I believe paid $9,000 payment. He was actually owed $10,000. The finance person took a check post-dated to, I believe, December 23, so that they will then deposit that check. That will bring the Tides complex to current, but the next payment then is due on January 1st. And so the finance department asked, and the Human Resources Committee tonight agreed, And we would like to recommend that we postpone any action on this until the January 9th Human Resources Committee meeting to make sure that the check on the 23rd cleared and the payment due January 1st clears. The clerk says we're well within our 60-day protest, as this is a mid-cycle protest, that this is not a license that is up for renewal at the end of December by the Alcohol Marijuana Control Board. So our recommendation is that we will we would like to postpone any action till the January 9th Human Resources Committee. And just in case the manager's worried, we set the meeting for 5 o'clock, so you can start your committee of the whole at 5:30. We've asked the clerk to make sure we only have an agenda for a half an hour. I saw you worried over there. So
do we have a motion to postpone until, what's the date again?
January 9th.
January 9th. Is there discussion? Is there objection? All right. Motion is carried. Staff reports.
Mr. Mayor, I have a brief staff report. We like to honor our employees when they hit milestones in their municipal careers, and normally we do that at department level. I have a certificate of appreciation for Ms. Cosgrove, who has earned her 10-year CBJ pin. It's a rewarding career working for the city, and I'm happy to have had Mila here for the last 10 years, and we hope we get quite a few more out of her. That's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Time flies when you have fun.
Anything else?
Nothing more.
Similar reports. Mayor's report. If I can do this briefly. Watched the electors ceremony take place today in the capital city, and as always with ceremonies, it was very impressive. Been working on an ad hoc mayoral meetings on homeless, inebriated, and those in need. We've had two meetings on this. The first one was to establish the need and the parameters of the problem. After that, there was a survey done the 1st of December of as many homeless as they could find. The plausible tools to use was the next thing that we looked at, including lighting, and something that will be at the Committee of the Hall, and that is a camping ordinance and restricted as to what areas camping can occur in. But again, that will be at the Committee of the Whole. Then moving people off the street to housing, there's two forces actually working on this situation. The staff from the Glory Hole St. Vincent de Paul and the Zach Gordon Center have been contacting people and moving them into housing or I guess different organizations that can help them. And the police have also been out working with members of JAMI and AWARE and other support agencies and contacting homeless. There is some rapid rehousing going on, moving them into housing here and other area outside of Juneau where greater success in getting the housing and support may be achieved. The last task that we gave to the housing task force was to research and come back with a recommendation for a trigger for the weather as to when we would need to open up emergency shelters and also come back with a location and operators for that emergency shelters. That was a pretty big task. The other one will be potential locations for low barrier shelters that will take anyone. So that's what that ad hoc committee is doing. And the next one is on the road. I will be preparing a response to a constituent on the history of the Assembly's support for Juneau Access. We did get an email on that, and I will be responding to that and copying everybody on the Assembly. And the last one, there seems to be a state wrestling champion at the 220-pound, someone named Cody Wilton. If I could read this, and then I'll see if I can find someone to take this letter to him. Dear Cody, congratulations to you for winning the state wrestling championship in your weight class. I understand that you finished the season with a 21 record. These accomplishments have created memories that will last a lifetime. Juneau has not seen a state champion wrestler since the 2007-2008 season and has never had one in your weight class. We are very happy to offer our congratulations and best wishes to you. We are proud of you for your hard work and success.
Yay. Mr. Mayor, actually it was 2006-2007 was the previous when Stephen Dyer did that.
All right. You can correct that.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can tell Cody I corrected him.
There you go.
All right. And that is the mayor's report. Committee and liaison reports, starting with Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So the Affordable Housing Commission has met twice since I've had an opportunity to report. The first meeting was on November 15th of this year. The second meeting was on December 6th. And I would like to share a little bit about what's going on at the Affordable Housing Commission. Please pardon me here. Bear with me for one moment. I'll get my notes in order. So they introduced Craig Mickelson, who is the new ordinance enforcement, code enforcement officer. And so, sorry, this is a very small font. They were talking to him about what he will be doing, which is going out and reviewing properties and building permits to make sure that people are doing as prescribed in the building permits. They were talking about the blighted property ordinance and have formed committees to work on special projects and topics, one of which is the blighted property ordinance, which we have not yet adopted, if I'm correct. And they're looking into that. They continue to work on the mobile home financing program that the CBJ has partnered with True North on. And they've been talking about loans to sponsors, and that's what's going on at the Affordable Housing Commission as of the November 15th meeting. The building community continues to review the action taken on the Housing Action Plan. That has been a big topic of discussion at the Affordable Housing Commission, and they have proposed updating that plan every 2 years or as needed to keep the information in the plan up to date. That concludes my report.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For the school board, I went to their meeting and they approved their revised budget of approximately $71 million, and they had a revision due to the addition student enrollment, which increased their state funding by roughly $2.8 million, and after accommodating expenditures for additional students and investing in some improvements for student achievement, the budget revision leaves roughly $800,000 for fiscal year 18. And they also voted to ask the Assembly for an additional $650,500 to fund some general school operations during fiscal year 17. They revised their 2016-17 school calendar to add a parent-teacher conference and adopted their 2017-2018 calendar. And there is a draft for that calendar for 20 early release days for teacher collaboration. And they also worked on their proposed school board legislative priorities for the upcoming session. And do you want to give the JEDC update or do you want me to?
Would you please?
Okay. They have been busy with letter writing advocacy effort, and through their effort, over 100 letters were sent to the UA regions, and hopefully they're part of that success. They've also launched some STEM grants, and they've had two FIRST Robotics events, and they were very successful. And last but not least, they have an innovation summit coming up on February 15th to 16th, and registration should be open, I think, next week.
Thank you. Ms. White?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Let's see, at the last Lands Committee meeting, we had an update regarding the potential for some public parking in the subport area by a potential buyer for one of the properties there, and some discussion about a right-of-way use by a downtown business that did not appear to be something that would obstruct traffic but might better utilize our tight downtown area. Next Planning Commission meeting is on December 27th. The agenda looks fairly light, but not as light as last week's 48-minute meeting, which was pretty nice. Aquatics Board's been on the quiet side, not used to that. I don't know what's going on with Max, but he hasn't been bugging me. Travel Juno is experiencing some pretty deep concerns, as are most of the travel bureaus throughout Alaska, with the governor's budget and hurting their marketing funds. However, they wanted me to express how thankful they were for our support for the University of Alaska Southeast, because a lot of our students that stick around our community year-round are going to school at UAS, and they're spending their summers employed by our tourism industry. And it's a good source of having some repeat employees who come year after year. Anyway, let's see. They are planning a board retreat, trying to put together a date sometime in February. And then I'd like to send out a shout-out to JPD's Shop with a Cop program, watching the excitement of people who were posting videos on Facebook of how excited all these children were. Donations to a program like Shop with a Cop in a community like Juneau, I view as an investment in our young people, because we're taking population that can be somewhat disadvantaged, who sometimes don't view people in authority in a positive light, and give them an extremely positive experience. So I was happy to be one of the investors in that program, but it was pretty exciting to watch. I think it's just some of the stuff that JPD comes up with is always a pleasant surprise, and there's so much more to come. I found out at my latest Rotary Club that they have now planned for the first day of the legislature meeting a little rally in front of the state capitol that'll kind of look like a protest, but they're calling it, I believe,
encouragement.
Yes, an encouragement with signs and the whole nine yards. So I have to admit, I love some of the creativity and good ideas that come out of JPD. Thank you.
Ms. Bashes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Parks and Rec Advisory Committee met on December 6th. Talked about a number of things, got updates about their master plan. Talked about the CIPs that are park-related. They talked about hut-to-hut, OHV, again. Very supportive of Hut to Hut, not so supportive of taking it from the OHV CIP, but they're still chatting about it. Talked about their support for Gananoque Park, and that should still be a park. They next meet on January 3rd. The Commission on Sustainability met on December 14th. I was at Finance Committee, so I wasn't there, but they talked about the energy plan and reviewed the public comments. They have a 7-page spreadsheet with all the comments that they've received so far, and we're analyzing all of that. Your chicken committee is working hard on the chicken ordinance, which is exciting. Bartlett has not met since we last met. I did go to the DBA for Mr. Jones, and their board talked about the gallery walk and what a great event it was. They had some discussions about how and when their board acts. They've made some comments that some of their members didn't appreciate, but they're working through that, as any organization who has a board who tries to comment on things without making a survey about everything they do. They talked about homelessness and loitering, and they asked the city attorney come and chat with them about what was what legal options are available for that sort of thing. So they'll probably contact the city attorney to arrange that. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee met prior to tonight's meeting. We dealt with several issues, one of which was we got the annual report from the Douglas Advisory Board. We also had three vacancies on the advisory board whose terms expire September 30 of 2016. The HRC is recommending the reappointment of John Delgado, Mary Kay Pusich, and Adam Garner to terms expiring September 30, 2019.
Is there any objection? Mr. Jones?
We also got an update on the local emergency planning committee. At our last meeting, we had approved a whole series of appointments. They had switched two appointments to the vulnerable population seat, who they showed on the original as the alternate was supposed to be the primary and vice versa. So they have corrected that, and the Human Resources Committee is recommending that we communicate to the LAPC that it's okay with us and that they should send on all those names to the state group that has to approve those appointments. It's Jason Burke going from an alternate to the primary, and Suzanne Dotson, I believe, is going from primary to the alternate.
Any objection?
We also dealt with the liquor license, which I already reported on. And we also had about a 35-minute discussion with Dallas Hargraves on the Bartlett Regional Hospital personnel rules and the summary of all those changes. And our recommendation is that be prepared and submitted to the Assembly. I believe they are looking at waiting to submit that when they are submitting the contract with the Bartlett Union, which they have a tentative agreement and think they're waiting on a few more things, so probably be toward the end of January. And we did set the next meeting for January 9th at 5 p.m., and we will hold it till half an hour so that then we can move on to the COW that night. Airport Board met the day after the committee of the whole meeting. They heard somewhat the same presentation on the sustainability plan. They also approved moving the airport layout plan to the FAA. And their next meeting is January 10th. Thank Ms. Glaszewski for covering the DBA for me. The LEPC met. Their next meeting is January 11th. Really don't have anything to report. And then the other sort of ad hoc committee I guess I go to a lot is the DIG. And the manager has managed to co-opt that group into his ad hoc parking group. I just wish that it wasn't 60% city staff, but maybe I can work with the DBA and we can change that so that there's more citizens and business owners than there are city staff. The manager handled staff criticism of his approach by bringing them to the front so that they could debate him in front of all the rest of us. I thought that was a unique way to incorporate criticism. Some of which I really did agree with. I don't know what the next schedule is in terms of when the DIG is going to meet specifically on parking, but it may be that they do that on an as-needed basis and move other things in as part of the dig. But I just wanted to compliment the manager on that. Since we've already done his evaluation, he'll have to wait, I guess, a little bit longer before we ding him for not doing anything about parking. But I like his approach, and I think he's getting some pretty strong agreement from the people that are attending that aren't city employees. I think he may have to work on some city employees and getting more alignment, but other than that, he's doing great. And that's my report.
Thank you, Mr. Charles. Mr. Gale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Alaska Municipal League Board has a teleconference coming up at the top of next month. We'll hear a pitch about an interesting notion for a community dividend bill that I am still trying to figure out exactly how that works. I think the notion is that it would be in lieu of the current revenue sharing program. So AML is being asked to take a position on that. I will keep you up to date on that. The Willoughby Arts Complex group has not met since our last meeting, and I'm sure when you hear from the Committee of the Whole Chair, you'll hear about our last actions on that. Then the Campus Council met at UAS December the 5th and heard from the Alumni Development Office about the efforts with regard to fundraising and endowment efforts out at UAS and what they're up to. Then we had a little auxiliary issue with the university that we discussed at that meeting and also at a special meeting December the 12th, but we opened our meeting with that. So all I can say is it was a tremendous success for this community and for teacher education statewide that UAS will take the lead on that statewide priority program. I should also mention the a report on the last Finance Committee. The Finance Committee met this last Wednesday, I guess, the 14th. We had significant discussion with the Juneau School District and the request that Ms. Weldon mentioned after the Assembly went to the cap in the budget process, an unexpected bump in students has created an opportunity for additional funding, and the committee discussed that, and we will take that up again at our next meeting as the current plan. So everyone should get their questions asked and answered about that, and if there's anything you'd like brought to the committee, please let me know. I'll get it included in the packet. The Finance Committee also discussed the funding plan for the next phase at Stater Harbor, a commercial tour passenger facility, and the appropriate funding sources for that, including some use of marine passenger fees. We heard an update from the Finance Department and the Law Department both on the state of our collection efforts on past due sales tax and the significant efforts that are being made to collect past due amounts. And in my, to my mind, at least as important, the efforts that are being made to catch these things earlier so that more of those taxes are remitted before they get to the point of being published in the paper or before the law department has to file in court. So I think there's significant progress being made there. You saw introduced this evening under our consent agenda an appropriating ordinance for bond interest arbitrage amounts, a thrilling and fascinating topic to all of us. And we received an update on the city's major revenues and how those look like they're coming in. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Gale. Mr. Van Turbis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. At our last Committee of the Whole, we had a joint meeting with the Airport Board. Primarily, we discussed the sustainability plan. That was, I guess you could call that part of what we normally have, which is an annual meeting with the Enterprise Boards, that being our Airport Board. In the future, we will have some more meetings with the other Enterprise Boards and the Planning Commission, and those specific meetings haven't been selected yet, but expect that to come down the pike. We also had an update on the new JAC, the proposed new JAC, and we had an economic development update on what we are doing, the city is doing, along the lines of
promoting our economic development plan and the progresses we've made and the things that we've yet to work on. Along those lines, our next committee of the whole meeting is the 9th of January, where we will be discussing shared access and the camping ordinance. And as Mr. Jones pointed out, we will be starting at 5:30 that night instead of the normal 6 p.m. starting time. And Mr. Mayor, I don't know if you want me to offer up anything for Ms. Becker on several of her committee and her liaison assignments or not. I have something here that I could wing it with.
Go
so
ahead.
Your call. Okay. The Public Works and Facility Committee meeting, the last one, was canceled. Our next meeting, I believe, is for January 9th. At noon, we are going to have a very full day, January 9th. Long day for all of us with those. And I will refer to Mr. Yucatil's memo to Ms. Becker regarding activities with the harbor. There's a excuse me, a possibility that the installation of the 16B ART, which was planned for May of 2017, might be delayed until fall of 2017. I know not why. The downtown waterfront urban plan, they've commenced drafting a scope of work to drill down the long-range waterfront plan to steer the commercial development of the public and private tide lands from Taku Dock to Marine Park. This will be similar to the land use master planning effort from Norway Point to Bridge Park. They are anticipating using an architectural term contractor managed by CBJ Engineering. Douglas Harbor, the project over there on the rebuild, is approximately 80% complete. There have not been any unanticipated issues there. Aurora Harbor, they expect to advertise for the Phase 2, which is E, F, and G floats, no later than January 6th of 2017. The land management plan, Norway Point to Bridge Park, Corvus Design will revisit the board in January to finalize ideas and then engage the public on specific conceptual plans. We had a few things on our agenda tonight, a bid award for Alaska commercial contractors and a change into the abandoned and derelict vessels statutes, recommended change. And also this one is topical. Since we had the university in here tonight, everybody's aware that Docks and Harbors put in a proposal for the Coast Guard land that is out there in Auk Bay. And GSA is expecting Docks and Harbors and the university to discuss partitioning the property to each organization's needs by February 1st, 2017. So the CBJ will be drafting correspondence to UAA. If you're aware, both agencies submitted proposals. Docks and Harbors did. It was accepted. The university did. That was accepted. So it sounds like they're telling us to get together with each other on that. And they have Stater Harbor, Phase 3. They are starting the permit process on the dredging, and they will continue the design process for construction of the new commercial for-hire floats. And I think that's as long as I want to drag that on. And that's all I have in front of me to help out with Ms. Becker's. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you for Ms. Becker. Is there any presiding officers' reports other than the one that we just had today? Mr. Jones.
Yes. The Nestor appeal that is set for the end of February is still proceeding.
Mr. Kill.
The Seal Trust appeal, I just want to make sure everyone still has their calendars marked for February 1st. Briefings are starting to come in.
Thank you, gentlemen. Now we come to assembly comments and questions. Mr. Nan Curvis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll be the first one to say it. I wish everybody a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. I would encourage you to spend time with your family. And I would also encourage you to call your mom. Moms love to hear from their kids on the holidays. And if you can't spend your holiday with your mom, give her a call. That's it.
That's just too sweet. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I feel obligated to tell Mr. Nate Kurbis I'm going up to see my mom tomorrow. Taking the family with me. Just a couple of things. I had the pleasure and privilege of going to three things in the last couple of weeks. Last weekend, the figure skating
clubs put on their ice show at the Treadwell Arena, and that was more fun than I had any reason to expect it to be. It was really great. Everything from beginning skaters to one of the most advanced figure skaters in the state of Alaska, who is one of Juno's own. It was an impressive show, and I encourage anyone who gets a chance the next time they put one on, it's an hour well spent. I also had the opportunity to join the local Freemasons organization at the installation of their officers this year, a club with a lot of history. And they are finishing up their new center out in the airport area, right across the street from the Frontier Suites, and plan to have a grand opening in the middle of March, to which I think we'll all receive invitations. So that's coming up. It's always good to see longstanding organizations re-upping and reinvesting in our community. And then I had an invitation to speak to Mara Shakely Early's senior government class at Thunder Mountain High School this last week. Not in my capacity as an assembly member, but with one of my other hats on. And that was inspiring. Two classes of senior high school government students who had great questions. They were well prepared. They asked insightful follow-ups. It's a good thing that we've got great government teachers in this town, unlike the old days, Mr. Mayor.
There we go.
I couldn't resist.
Christmas just got destroyed again.
Mr.
Joe.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was glad to hear the report on JADC talk about the robotics. December 10th, they held their Southeast competition here. I think my third year in a row now, I've been one of the judges, basically the head core values judge. Last year was almost all middle school students. This year was almost all elementary students. We only had two teams that were middle school. We had one team that was the correspondence school that had, I believe, an 8-year-old up to a 15-year-old. It's a fascinating group to watch that different age range work together. But basically, I committed a whole Saturday, 8 till about 4:30 in the afternoon. It was just a great time, as usual. The winning team was from Skagway. Since we're talking about robotics and STEM and all of that, no planes are flying out of Skagway, and the ferries were canceled. So the team from Skagway Skyped, and they did their core values, their program design, their robot design, and their program all via Skype with the various judging committees. And then when they got to actually run into robotics, they had their practice thing set up and had a judge, and everybody at Centennial Hall could watch as they were competing against the locals at the same time when they were running here in Juneau, and you could watch them running in Skagway. They did it all via Skype, and they won. They placed first out of all of the groups. I think they finished third in the actual scoring of the robotics, but between the program, the robotic design, the core values, and then the actual competition, they were the overall winners, and they did it via Skype. It was just a fascinating day with an age group that my grandkids are just coming into. So it's some adjustment. Also, I have attended the last two of the Lemon Creek Area Plan. They are getting down to starting to discuss chapter by chapter goals, work plans. Considerable amount of discussion about the dump. What to do? What they would like to do is to send that dump to someplace else in Juneau. In total, just pick it up and move. person from Waste Management who runs the landfill was there, as well as Michelle Alfers to talk about the recycling program and some of the other things. I also attended the CCFR awards dinner. Saturday night, or Friday night, I guess it was, wasn't it? Mayor was there. It was a fun event. Really put on really well. And somebody related to our attorney organized it all, but but Captain Travis Mead did a wonderful, wonderful job. And then I just wanted to, again, wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Didn't think I was going to do that. But anyway, I'm going to miss Kathy Hildreth being around. I'm going to miss Dr. George Brown for being around. We lost two really great people this month. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll ask a couple questions first. Posting audio of meetings, I'm still on that. They're both about, first of all, I'm happy to hear that we have a halftime PIO coming on in January, is it?
January 9th.
That's awesome. Posting audio of meetings, you guys are still investigating that. The other thing is I wanted to mention is the new logo, which I think is beautiful, but it doesn't say Alaska's capital city on it, and I object. I think it should say Alaska's capital city. It was redesigned. It's very, very nice, and we are nothing if not the Alaska's capital city.
And if I might, we've made that revision and reposted.
Oh, you did? Okay, great. Awesome. Then it's super. I really like it now. go to the holiday things. I had the privilege of attending the Filipino Christmas at the Filipino Hall. It was always, as we all know, go to those events are really, really awesome. And they do a wonderful job of supporting their communities and their elders and their young people. And it's really fun. Congratulations to the people who did Holiday Pops. It was sold out. Couldn't even get in the door. So we have a lot of people with a lot of talent working in our town, and wishing everybody a happy holidays.
Ms. White, do you want to do a continuation?
No, I have nothing further other than happy holidays. Looking forward to some rest and relaxation.
In a row of three.
Don't say that anymore.
Ms. Well.
Well, as everybody knows, I got to attend the state wrestling championship in Anchorage this weekend, and I have to also add that is the first time a judo team made the top 10 in points also. But aside from that, I got the pleasure of being invited to the Pioneers Home ice cream social, so every Friday at 1 o'clock you can go out and support your seniors and have ice cream with them at 1 o'clock, so that's kind of fun, and just wish everybody happy holidays.
Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have nothing else to report aside from happy holidays and looking forward to the new year.
All right, let me just finish up with mine. Again, Lauren pointed out we went to the Capital City Fire and Rescue. Great awards, great food, and for those there, the tablecloths were ironed extremely well. Phenomenal.
It's your side job.
Catholic Community Service Christmas reception. That was a farewell in some ways to Bishop Burns, who will be moving to Dallas, and extremely well done. The city manager and I met with the U.S. Coast Guard Admiral and staff, and with the I guess purpose of making sure that Coast Guard is well taken care of and to express our appreciation for them being in Juneau. All of you spent a very large amount of time on the university issue, and I would add thanks to what Chancellor Caulfield said for all of you. That was phenomenal. And I will say Merry Christmas. So, that brings us back to continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Mr. Quayle.
This is just a suggestion.
Mr. Quayle, if you want to identify yourself.
William Quayle. I'm 415. Willoughby, you know. At the end of Montana Creek Road, there's a campground that I believe is for the city, right? It is. Okay. And at 11 in November, they close it. Okay. If the city has control of that, if they have, they can have that snow plowed to there's normally during the summer they have regular parking spots. Okay. And this is definitely to help the homeless. And a lot of people, I've actually known some people that park out there just because they have a place. It would help a lot if they were able to park out there and not be harassed for, you know, parking in your car. And the only requirement is they have an application for the voucher for HUDBASH or the state, because the state takes 18 months. This would help a lot. And they have outlets where they can get vouchers to get heaters. I've been there. Okay, I know what it's like. Okay? And out there, I don't think nobody's going to be bothering them. The only thing they have to worry about is a bear, you know, coming out of hibernation, and it's unlikely that's going to happen. But for them sleeping out in their cars or vans or whatever out there, that would help a lot. And a lot of people do have vans and whatnot. And the city has, and I know they have ordinance, you can't sleep in your car. But it would definitely help if you have that one spot where they can park, okay, and they don't get in trouble, as long as they have an application for their voucher.
Okay. Any questions? Ms. White.
Are you referring to the campground off Montana Creek Road by Skitter's Cabin?
No. That's the one beyond the firing range.
Okay.
Beyond the fire range, there's a gate.
Okay.
Just up there, there's a gate. And that behind that, you can, during the summertime, you can camp. Okay.
I thought that was the...
Yeah, during the winter, the skiers use it, but it would be nothing for you to just have the snowplows go a little bit farther than normal.
Yeah, I think that's an archery range, too.
It's also an archery range.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Okay. I was just trying to get a location. Thanks.
Yeah, but it would definitely help if we did that.
Thank you, Mr. Quayle.
Thank you.
We have executive session, I believe, or an appeal process. Mr. Jones, you want to move us into executive session?
I believe it's not an executive session. It's a quasi-judicial approach, maybe the...
So that you can adjourn this meeting, executive session was noticed on the appeal agenda. So you can go into executive session as a continuation of that meeting. That would allow the clerk to leave.
What did you just say?
He basically said that we can adjourn the assembly meeting, and the next session was noticed on the appeal hearing agenda.
Reconvene the appeal.
We reconvene the appeal hearing.
Okay.
So I would move we adjourn.
Any objection? We're adjourned.